not cast away your confidence. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 465. It is May the 6th, 2016. Today, Christian and hopeful are being held captive by the giant despair. Let's join them as hopeful tries to persuade Christian not to take his own life. "My brother," said he, "rememberest thou not how valiant thou hast been heretofore? Apollyon could not crush thee, nor could all that thou didst hear or see or feel in the valley of the shadow of death. What hardship, terror, and amazement hast thou already gone through, and art thou now nothing but fear? Thou seest that I am in the dungeon with thee, a far weaker man by nature than thou art. Also this giant has wounded me as well as thee, and hath also cut off the bread and water from my mouth, and with thee I mourn without the light. But let's exercise a little more patience. Remember how thou playedst the man at Vanity Fair, and was neither afraid of the chain, nor the cage, nor yet of bloody death. Wherefore, let us, at least to avoid the shame that becomes not a Christian to be found in, bear up with patience as well as we can." Now, night being come again, and the giant and his wife being in bed, she asked him concerning the prisoners, and if they had taken his counsel. To which he replied, "They are sturdy rogues. They choose rather to bear all hardships than to make away themselves." Then said she, "Take them into the castle yard tomorrow, and shew them the bones and skulls of those that thou hast already dispatched, and make them believe, ere a week comes to an end, thou also wilt tear them in pieces, as thou hast done their fellows before them." And so when the morning was come, the giant goes to them again, and takes them into the castle yard, and shews them as his wife has bidden him. "These," said he, "were pilgrims, as you are, and they trespassed in my grounds, as you have done. And when I thought fit, I tore them in pieces. And so within 10 days I will do to you. So go, get you down to your den again." And with that he beat them all the way thither. They lay therefore all day on Saturday in a lamentable case, as before. Now when night was come, and when Mrs. Diffidence and her husband the giant were got to bed, they began to renew their discourse of their prisoners. And withal the old giant wondered that he could neither by his blows nor counsel bring them to an end. And with that his wife replied, "I fear," said she, "that they live in hope that some will come to relieve them, or that they have picklocks about them by the means of which they hope to escape." "Sayest thou so, my dear?" said the giant. "I will therefore search them in the morning." Well, on Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray. And they continued in prayer till almost break of day. Now, a little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, break out in this passionate speech. "What a fool," quoth he, "am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon, when I may as well walk at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle." Then said Hopeful, "Well, that's good news, good brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try." Then Christian pulled it out of his bosom and began to try at the dungeon door, whose bolt, as he turned the key, gave back. And the door flew open with ease, and Christian and Hopeful both came out. Then he went to the outward door that leads into the castle yard, and with his key opened that door also. After, he went to the iron gate, for that must be open too, but that lock went very hard. Yet the key did open it. Then they thrust open the gate to make their escape with speed. But that gate, as it opened, made such a creaking that it waked Giant Despair, who hastily rising to pursue his prisoners felt his limbs to fail, for his fits took him again, so that he could by no means go after them. Then they went on and came to the king's highway again, and so were safe, because they were out of his jurisdiction. Now when they were gone over the stile, they began to contrive with themselves what they should do at that stile to prevent those that should come after from falling into the hands of giant despair. So they consented to erect there a pillar and to engrave upon the side thereof this sentence: "Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by giant despair, who despiseth the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims." Many, therefore, that followed after read what was written and escaped the danger. This done, they sang as follows: "Out of the way we went, and then we found what 'twas to tread upon forbidden ground. And let them that come after have a care, lest heedlessness makes them as we to fare, lest they for trespassing his prisoners are, whose castles doubting, and whose names despair." They went then till they came to the Delectable Mountains, which mountains belong to the Lord of that hill, of which we have spoken before. So they went up to the mountains to behold the gardens and orchards, the vineyards and fountains of water, where also they drank and washed themselves and did freely eat of the vineyards. Now there was on the tops of those mountains shepherds feeding their flock, and they stood by the highway side. The pilgrims, therefore, went to them, and leaning upon their staves, as is common with weary pilgrims when they stand to talk with any by the way, they asked, "Whose Delectable Mountains are these, and whose be the sheep that feed upon them?" The shepherd said, "These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within sight of his city, and the sheep also are his, and he laid down his life for them." "Is this the way to the celestial city?" "You are just in your way." "How far is it thither?" "Too far for any but those that shall get thither indeed." "Is the way safe or dangerous?" "Safe for those for whom it is to be safe, but transgressors shall fall therein." "Is there in this place any relief for pilgrims that are weary and faint in the way?" "The Lord of these mountains hath given us charge not to be forgetful, to entertain strangers. Therefore the good of the place is even before you." I saw also in my dream that when the shepherds perceived they were wayfaring men, they also put questions to them, to which they made answer as in other places, as, "Whence came you, and how got you into the way, and by what means have you so persevered therein? For but few of them that begin to come hither do shew their faces on these mountains." But when the shepherds heard their answers, being pleased therewith, they looked very lovingly upon them and said, "Welcome to the Delectable Mountains." The shepherds, I say, whose names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, took them by the hand and had them to their tents, and made them partake of that which was ready at present. They said, moreover, "We would that you should stay here a while to be acquainted with us, and yet more to solace yourselves with the good of these Delectable Mountains." Then they told them that they were content to stay. So they went to their rest that night, because it was very late. Then I saw in my dream that in the morning the shepherds called up Christian and Hopeful to walk with them upon the mountains. So they went forth with them and walked a while, having a pleasant prospect on every side. Then said the shepherds one to another, "Shall we shew these pilgrims some wonders?" So when they had concluded to do it, they had them first to the top of a hill called Error, which was very steep on the furthest side, and bid them look down to the bottom. So Christian and Hopeful looked down, and saw at the bottom several men dashed all to pieces by a fall that they had from the top. Then said Christian, "What meaneth this?" The shepherds answered, Have you not heard of them that were made to err by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus as concerning the faith of the resurrection of the body? They answered, yes. Then said the shepherds, those that you see lie dashed in pieces at the bottom of this mountain are they, and they have continued to this day unburied, as you see, for an example for others to take heed how they clamber too high or how they come too near to the brink of this mountain. Then I saw that they had gone to the top of another mountain, and the name of that is Caution, and bid them look afar off, which when they did, they perceived, as they thought, several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there. And they perceived that the men were blind, because they stumbled sometimes upon the tombs, and because they could not get out from among them. Then said Christians, what means this? The shepherds then answered, did you not see a little below those mountains a stile that led into a meadow on the left hand of this way? They answered, yes. Then said the shepherds, from that stile there goes a path that leads directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair. And these men, pointing to them among the tombs, came once on pilgrimage, as you do now, even till they came to that same stile. And because the right way was rough in that place, they chose to go out of it into that meadow, and there were taken by Giant Despair and cast into Doubting Castle, where, after they had a while been kept in the dungeon, he at last had put out their eyes and led them among those tombs where he has left them to wander to this very day. That the saying of the wise man might be fulfilled, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Then Christian and Hopeful looked one upon another, with tears gushing out, but yet said nothing to the shepherds. Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds had them to another place in a bottom, where was a door in the side of a hill, and they opened the door and bid them look in. They looked in, therefore, and saw that within it was very dark and smoky. They also thought that they heard there a rumbling noise as of fire, and a cry of some tormented, that they smelt the scent of brimstone. And then said Christian, what means this? The shepherds told them, this is a byway to hell, a way that hypocrites go in at, namely such as sell their birthright with Esau, such as sell their master with Judas, such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and that lie and dissemble with Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. Then said Hopeful to the shepherds, I perceive that these had on them every one a shoe of pilgrimage, as we have now, had they not? Yes, and they held it a long time, too. Well, how far might they go on pilgrimage in their day, since they notwithstanding were thus miserable cast away? Some further, some not so far as these mountains. Then said the pilgrims one to another, we had need cry to the strong for strength. The shepherd said, aye, and you will have need to use it when you have it too. By this time the pilgrims had a desire to go forward, and the shepherds a desire that they should. So they walked together towards the end of the mountains. Then said the shepherds one to another, let us here show to the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city, if they have skill to look through our perspective glass. The pilgrims then lovingly accepted the motion. So they had them to the top of a high hill called Clear, and gave them the glass to look. Then they essayed to look, but the remembrance of that last thing that the shepherds had showed them made their hands shake, by means of which impediment they could not look steadily through the glass. Yet they thought they saw something like the gate, and also some of the glory of the place. Then they went away and sang this song, thus by the shepherds secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious be. When they were about to depart, One of the shepherds gave them a note of the way. Another of them bid them beware of the flatterer. The third bid them take heed that they sleep not upon the enchanted ground. And the fourth bid them Godspeed. And so I awoke from my dream. Well, only a little while he will awake. He will be going back to sleep soon, dreaming some more, and we'll get right back into the story. And not too long from now, Mr. Spurgeon will come along with us and tell us what he sees. Well, this is Friday. That means tomorrow it's break time. Saturday, we don't have a podcast. On Sunday, we'll be doing North Korea. I don't know exactly what we will be doing. I think it's a story from one of the many stories I collected over 2 years of walking with North Korea as closely as I dared. And I would like you to share some of those stories with me on Sunday. And then we'll get back Monday to Charles Spurgeon, John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress. By the way, we are still working on the book of Exodus now. Many questions and answers waiting for you. I hope that you will stay tuned so we can get back to the Bible eventually. Hey, when contacting me, ask a question. Maybe a Bible question I can put in my book. Who knows? Or you can suggest a topic for study, although it may have to wait a line at this point. Or send a prayer request or just say hi. I always like hearing from people who are out there. And the notes you've sent so far have been such a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, we started with Hebrews 10:35. Let's end there. Do not cast away your confidence.